That is true. That's true for every market. But I think that your comments on the bulls and that wider audience of perma bulls that are in the crypto sector, that speaks a lot to these markets. No matter how you look at any markets, especially gold or and even Bitcoin or cryptos, they're all speculative markets and they're driven by sentiment, especially these. And when you have a larger audience that are diehard bulls, well, they can keep moving that market to some pretty big extremes. And that's one of the problems with gold is that I find the diehards, they're getting older and there are fewer of them. But that's the way I look at those two markets. I try to take out all this noise about what's an inflation hedge and what isn't, because that just drives into the whole sentiment avenue of those sectors. Rick, let's move over to the equity markets, because Thursday, boy, oh boy, we saw some wild swings. You've even outlined some of those swings, but some things that caught my eye were 800 point moves from the lows to the highs in the Nasdaq, in the Dow, and the markets closed strong and they're closing this week strong. Friday trading, all the markets are up. Do you think that this Ukraine-Russia war actually put a bottom in these markets?
I do think we have a near-term tradable low, and that's what I've told people. I have in the no trader clients, I've got my institutional clients, and I recently also became the chief market strategist at Options Play. And in the piece we put out last night for them, I said, look, we have a likely tradable bottom. Can I tell you that this bottom holds and that it was in capital letters, the bottom? I can't. It feels like a near-term bottom, yes. It came along with some DeMarc timing models that suggested the bottom could be in place. It held all the key levels on the cloud chart that I needed to see hold. So a lot of things happened that suggest to me we have a near-term bottom. But absent of any other game-changing news, yeah, I think we bounce from here. But is this the low low? It seems almost obvious that it could be, which always makes me wonder, is it really going to be? And look, if you get a different geopolitical event than most people are focusing on now, which is China messing with Taiwan, if that turns into more of a conflict, then that's going to be an issue for the market again. And again, it's not our war, but it is going to be an issue for the global equity markets. I think we're out of the woods for now. I think we can bounce, look for, resistance levels from, it could be as simple as, let's say, a middle Bollinger Band, because look at the weekly S&P Bollinger Bands. They're flat right now. And we, even though we dipped well beneath the bottom one yesterday, by the time we close this week out, we're above the bottom band. They're flat, would suggest we should probably go to the middle. It's even possible we go to the high one. I don't think so, because that would be much closer to all-time highs. And you'd need credit spreads to really turn around and other things I'd look at to think that we're going to test the high. But yes, near term, I think we have a low in place.
Well, Rick, with under the surface of the general markets, there's all kinds of different sectors vying for position, which I know you track closely. And we've heard really all year long, really since the end of last year, about the rotation out of growth and into value. Is it possible that this next generation of investors that a lot of people, have piled into the trading platforms the last couple of years during the lockdowns, a lot of people that didn't care at all, couldn't even spell trading 2 or 3 years ago, are now in the markets all the time, and they were in more speculative vehicles like the Cathie Wood's ARK Innovation growth stocks, like the meme stocks, AMC, GameStop, Hertz, like some of these, big payment system plans, whether it's PayPal or Square, look at Shopify. These things have been decimated, and they're down a lot more than the general indexes. And even some of the FANG stocks like Netflix and Apple took a few hits. But do you think that some of these people have had their clocks cleaned over the last, let's say, few months? And maybe that would impede the markets bouncing back as quickly as it has on the way up the last decade or so.
Well, it's very possible in the sense that if you look at Nasdaq, the breadth figures for Nasdaq, they actually peaked in, this is the Nasdaq composite. It peaked in February of last year. So we had an entire year of declining breadth, which is why it's been so hard to be in individual names. You had to be in the Q. If you like tech, you had to be in the QQQ, the actual NDX tracking ETF, because if you were in individual names, as you say, you got decimated. And it was only the mega cap that names that have the heaviest weights in the NDX that kept the Qs up and looking far better than, let's say, the NASDAQ itself really was. You're definitely going to have a lot of people who came in, got their bells rung, and are probably going to be shy about coming back and playing. So that may put a little bit of a decrease in demand for stocks on the way up. And look, the individual investor does still have some push and pull in how markets move up and down, but the institutional money is really often the big force behind things. And, you know, the little guys bidding for their 50 shares, I mean, think about it. In a name like Amazon, how many shares are you going to buy when it's a $3,000 stock and you're an individual? You're either trading fractional shares or, you buy three shares for $10,000 worth. It's not really going to make much difference in some of these big cap names. But, you know, you make a point that you may lose some of those, and it could decrease the likelihood of new all-time highs. To me, my biggest influence on whether or not we're going to make new all-time highs is watching credit spreads. And they probably came in the last day or two, but in general, they've been widening for a couple months and put their bottom in back in the fall. And as long as they're still generally moving higher, it's hard to think that we're going to just make new all-time highs in the S&P. So I think you've got a two-way trading market ahead for a few months. You could, near term, you've got a bullish bias to things. But if you keep bidding for a stock underneath current price and you don't get filled, and finally one day you go, I can't take it anymore, I just got to buy it, this thing's running away, you probably are buying right near the high. So I would not be chasing as we start to rally. And, you know, if we took out the February high, which, remember, we sold off in January, in late January, we put the bottom in at S&P, what was it, 4223. We rallied into mid-February, put in a high, and then, you know, over the last couple of days, took out that bottom only to come right back up. So we know we've got a bottom in place. Whether or not we take out those highs in February, I'm not sure. So the closer you get towards those highs, the more you should be thinking to yourself, I really shouldn't be chasing up here because we're likely in a two-way market for a while. So don't get caught into, darn, I missed it. There'll be other opportunities. That's the way I look at things.
Okay. Well, the S&P is about 5% from those highs in February. Final comment here, Rick, and it ties into the two-way market that you're discussing. When we do have this Russia-Ukraine conflict behind us, and hopefully that happens soon, all eyes are going to go back to the Fed and the rate hiking cycle that is starting very soon. The question is, how long will the Fed be able to hike rates? That's what everyone's asking. I think what we need to be asking is, what do we need to watch on the back of these rate hikes to see if the Fed's hand will be forced in terms of slowing down or switching course? What are you going to be watching most closely market-wise when the Fed starts hiking?
I think it's going to probably come down to both the U.S. 10-year and credit spreads. They're clearly told us they're raising this year. The market has priced in a significant amount of price rises in yield terms. And Goldman Sachs, I think, has got 9 hikes scheduled. I'm not sure if the market, I haven't looked at Fed Fund futures recently to see how many they've got priced in and where they are, but when you go into, think about how many investors are in the marketplace that have never really seen any significant hiking cycle in their history of trading. It's been very easy to be a bull over the last, 20 years because you had an easing Fed. And certainly since the debt crisis that ended in March of 2009, the Fed has fueled the money into the marketplace, and we know they're finally not going to be doing that. That is going to put a lid on how much the markets can rally over time. So it doesn't mean at some point we won't make new all-time highs, but you're not going to likely see the increases on a percentage basis, on a year-over-year basis, than we've seen the last 10 years. The last you know, over the last couple of years, we've had some very significant percentage increases in the market. Last year was 28%. A year or two before that, I think it was 32%, including dividends. You know, you're not going to see that anymore. You're not going to see the S&P up 30%. Could it be up 10%, 15% in a year, up 7%? Sure. But it's very unlikely that you're going to see the major increases like you've seen in the past, because interest rates are going in the wrong direction. And even though some of the money that leaves the credit market as rates move up and bond prices move down and portfolio managers sell out of bonds, some of that money will make its way into the stock market. But the higher rates at some point become an alternative investment and a safer one than stocks, because, you know, in the case of U.S. Treasuries, it's guaranteed. And I don't think anything until you probably have to get well over 3.5% in the U.S. 10-year before it's going to really make an impact on people saying, would I rather have, you know, a guaranteed yield of X percent or take the risk on being involved in stocks? I don't think we're even close to that yet with near 2%, but I do think that it is going to limit just how much the market moves up over time.
All right, Rick, man, it's great having you on the show. Thank you for addressing a wide range of questions and diving into some of these markets, trying to make sense of what was just a wildly volatile week. And that just goes to say for this whole year, we've seen volatility, we've seen a bit more fear come into the market. And then we had the whole, in a way, black swan event of this Ukraine-Russia tension, although, boy, oh boy, we were sure hearing about the buildup of troops prior to this invasion. So right now, trying to make sense of these moves and trying to catch some directional trades, but right now, it's tough. Rick, thank you, as always, for your time, buddy. We'll have you back on next month. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me.